Now, some fire departments around the country are grappling with a problem that in some cases is causing them to take drastic measures. Too few volunteers. A few decades ago, it wasn't unusual for departments to have waiting lists for volunteer firefighters, people who wanted to sign up. Those days appear to be over, at least for now. In North Carolina, for example, the Federal Emergency Management Agency said the number of volunteers fell by 1,200 over 2 years, about a 22% decline. As a result of the shortage, some departments are cutting services, shutting down, trying to figure out how to afford full-time firefighters. So what's going on and what's being done to bring in more recruits? Catherine Barrett is a columnist and correspondent for Governing Magazine. She researches and writes about state and local government, and she recently wrote about the volunteer firefighter shortage. Catherine, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much, Rob.
Well, for some people in especially bigger cities, this might not be a familiar problem, but I know a lot of communities around Wisconsin and elsewhere have volunteer firefighters. How common is it for communities to rely, at least in part, on volunteers?
It's really common. This kind of surprised me, but 65% of firefighters in the country are volunteers. It used to be 70%, and the number is really dropping.
And as part of your reporting, you looked at what volunteer firefighters do. I'm sure it varies from place to place, but talk about what their schedule is being on call, what they're expected to do as volunteer firefighters.
They're expected to do quite a lot, they're often on call during the evenings. It's hard work. I think it's very satisfying, but fire departments are having a much harder time keeping their volunteers. So retention is a big issue, and people just live a bit differently than they used to, and it's hard for people to devote the time that volunteer firefighters did, 20 or 30 years ago.
And often they're volunteer firefighters. There's often a little bit of money involved. It's not a lot of money, though, for someone being that volunteer, right?
Yeah, and that really differs around the country. Some places have tried to deal with their shortage by offering different kinds of incentives, like a cut in property taxes, a cut in income taxes, in some cases a very small stipend, or if you serve for 25 years, a small pension. But a lot of people don't do that. I mean, a lot of places don't do that. It's a really tough issue right now.
Talking to Catherine Barrett from Governing Magazine about volunteer firefighters around the country. There is a shortage of them in many communities. A Pennsylvania Fire and Emergency Services Institute report concluded that with the continuing loss of volunteers, taxpayers could end up paying a lot more money. Can you talk about the fiscal impact and what's happening as communities realize maybe they have no option but to go with full-time professional firefighters?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a problem especially hitting areas with a lot of small towns, rural areas, and that's certainly the case in Pennsylvania, where there are, many, many, many different little communities. There was a study done in Pennsylvania last year, and they estimated that if you had to replace all of the volunteer firefighters with professionals, it could cost the state $10 billion a year. I mean, this is an enormous number and a really heavy burden for taxpayers. So they're trying to figure out what to do. They're trying to, think of adding some of the incentives that places like Maryland add, like a break on taxes.
Catherine, you mentioned earlier that we live differently now. What are some of the things that either fire chiefs or you talk to some volunteers themselves, what are some of the things they talked about that make volunteer firefighting just not fit with their daily lives?
Yeah, we interviewed a fire chief in Cherryville, North Carolina, and he told a very poignant story about his community. 25 years ago, there were 11 textile plants, one big, trucking company. There was a lot of local employment, and every single one of those textile plants closed down. The trucking company left, and now people who live in that community have to commute sometimes to Charlotte, which is 40 miles away. It makes it much more difficult to volunteer in the community. Also, when there were jobs to be had in big businesses in that small town, the businesses would let people, the volunteer firefighters, go, you know, go off if they had an emergency call. That's not the case anymore because the employers in that town are small employers. They're mom and pop shops now.
I talked to, this has been a while back, I talked to a former professional firefighter in the Wausau, Wisconsin area, and he talked about how the job has changed. Some of it is putting out the fires, and some of it is calls for things like a Narcan for overdoses. Is the nature of the job changing for volunteer firefighters, too, to maybe something they hadn't really thought about when they came in?
Yeah, I think that is a factor. There are fewer big fires. That's a good thing, but firefighters... or people who are called firefighters are now spending a good deal of their time responding to car accidents or, you know, hazardous material spills or just plain medical calls. Somebody said to us, you know, it's just not quite the same to go help, you know, an older woman who has fallen down than to go to a fire where there's kind of an adrenaline rush. All of the calls that they get are very important calls, but it's not always the image that young volunteers have of what firefighting will be.
What did you see from the communities you looked at when it comes to trying to turn these numbers around and recruit more volunteer firefighters?
Yeah, we were really very interested in what was happening in Maryland, and one of the communities there was working very hard at changing the culture of the firehouses and so that they would feel welcoming to a different set of volunteers, that it can't all be, white males, particularly in that county, Montgomery County. It's a very diverse community, and so they are doing a lot to bring women in as volunteers, it's a very diverse culture, so bringing people from other countries in as volunteers. One of their trainers comes from Guatemala and, you know, speaks four different languages. The other thing that they're really trying to do is create a very family-like atmosphere, that it's a community. I know that they were talking to me about when they bring people in for training, they serve dinner, everybody eats together. They want it to be a place where people feel very good about volunteering.
We're talking about the declining numbers of volunteer firefighters around the nation and what communities are trying to do to reverse that trend. Catherine Barrett is our guest. She's a columnist and correspondent for Governing Magazine. She's written about this issue. Just a few moments, we'll hear what's going on here in Wisconsin. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you done this? Are you doing this? Are you a volunteer firefighter or EMT? I know a lot of communities around the state rely on volunteer EMTs. What got you into it? Why do you keep doing it? Or do you find that being a volunteer just doesn't fit with the realities of your life, being on call for long periods of time while you're trying to do your own job at the same time? And if you lead a fire department, love to hear from you as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the declining numbers of volunteer firefighters around the United States. Catherine Barrett is with us from Governing Magazine. She wrote about this issue. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you now or have you ever been a volunteer firefighter or EMT? Love to hear about your experiences, what the job was like, why you do it, why you did it, why you stopped. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Now for a sense of what's going on with volunteer firefighting here in Wisconsin, let's go to Nate Melby. He's president of the Wisconsin State Fire Chiefs Association and the volunteer chief of the Town of Campbell Fire Department near La Crosse. Nate, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we've been hearing what's going on around the country. Are we seeing departments in Wisconsin having trouble keeping up the numbers of volunteer firefighters?
Well, I think, you know, it is a national trend, and we see in Wisconsin's own way some of those challenges being represented here, too. One of the things that we look at as an association is that the Wisconsin Fire Service is about 80% volunteer compared to the National Fire Service at around 70% volunteers. So we have more volunteers in Wisconsin, and sometimes those trends we see magnified in certain ways, and in other ways we see our volunteer service as stronger because we have a larger mass of volunteer departments here.
Is there a strong tradition here in Wisconsin that maybe helps get the word out more, maybe where it wouldn't be in another state?
I think there is to some degree. The volunteer fire service is really largely rural and born of the rural communities. And so I think due to Wisconsin's rural nature, we see strength in the volunteer service in those areas. But, you know, there are changing demographics that we're kind of embattled with. We look at the change in the rural communities and how we see, you know, younger families maybe leaving rural communities for more urban amenities or urban communities. And so those were all potential firefighters that we may have been able to tap into in the past where they won't be there for us in the future.
Yeah, we heard from James on Facebook who says, hey, there are low numbers of young people living in rural areas that rely on volunteer firefighters, backing up what you just said there. So how does your department, how do other departments try to reach out, get the word out, and recruit the young people who are there?
Sure. So, you know, some of the things that I've seen departments do is they continue to try to get increasingly creative. One of the strengths of the American Fire Service is the ingenuity. It's the Swiss Army knife of medical or of emergency services. And so you'll see different solutions depending on what the local challenges are. I've seen departments do things like starting some type of a child care program so firefighters can respond to calls at different stages of life if they have young families, trying to provide for somebody to watch their kids so that they can respond. I've seen things where they are, incentivized with, length of service plans. We're even working in the state of Wisconsin with our legislators to try to provide some tax incentives to volunteer firefighters so that we can retain them longer. Once people join the fire department and go through the training, they're very valuable to the fire department community. And the longer you can keep them after they're trained, the better it is for everyone.
Now, Nate, you're a volunteer chief yourself. You've obviously worked with a lot of volunteer firefighters. Again, obviously, none of you are doing it for the money. Can you talk about the motivation? What is it that, motivates you as you go on to that next 24-hour shift on call?
Sure. So, I've been asked that question many times during my career in the fire service, and the best answer that I can give you is it's about a sense of duty. It's kind of a scary thought as a firefighter to think, what would happen if there were a fire or someone needed our services and we weren't there? And so, there are certain people in every community that say, okay, I'm doing this and that's our responsibility and we're going to take that on. But for those of us that are doing that and we see, the generations that have come before us and them taking the mantle, well, there's another generation here that now it's another generation's turn. And it's a generation that's facing different challenges with the way they spend their time and their availability and the other demands on their lives and everything else. So it's a whole different game now.
And Nate, as we wrap up, if there's somebody out there listening thinking, well, I don't even know you could volunteer and be a firefighter, maybe I could, I don't know. What would you tell them about how to check it out and how to get involved?
Sure. One of the things I would say is, it's one of the best things that you can do. It's one of the best ways you can spend your time. You can directly impact and help other people if you join the volunteer fire service. If you're interested in it, go to your local volunteer department and just ask about it. I'm sure that any training night they would welcome you in and be happy to talk to you about it and what it takes. The other thing that I would say is don't feel that it's just being limited to someone who wants to fight fires or somebody that wants to go on medical calls and be an EMT. Fire departments that are becoming more creative are finding all sorts of new roles. One of the roles my department created was an administrative position. We had a volunteer that was very good at record keeping and data entry, and so we created what we call a fire corps position, which is a non-operational position, but they're still a member of our organization, and they can contribute in their own way.
Nate, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Nate Melby, president of the Wisconsin State Fire Chiefs Association and the volunteer chief of the town of Campbell Fire Department. We're talking about departments, communities around the nation having trouble keeping enough volunteer firefighters on the job. Let's go back now to Catherine Barrett from Governing Magazine, who's been reporting on this. We heard from Nate Melby there, Catherine, about getting the word out. And that's something you found in your reporting, that departments were just having to get the publicity out there that, hey, we use volunteers and we need more.
That's absolutely right. I mean, when we talked with fire chiefs, they told us they were recruiting virtually all the time. I mean, one fire chief said to us, you know, he recruits when he goes to the supermarket. He, you know, recruits in libraries and high schools and churches and synagogues, basically everywhere he goes. So you just have to be very, very active at getting the word out that this is a job that needs to be done. As your fire chief said, there are lots of different ways to do it. It's not always, you know, putting on the fire gear and going into a fire or actually answering, going into the medical calls. There are all sorts of ways to volunteer.
Well, we heard from a lot of people on the Ideas Network Facebook page, and you can still join in at 800-642-1234 if you have thoughts or experiences when it comes to volunteer firefighting. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Dave on Facebook said he was a paid on-call firefighter EMT for 25 years before leaving almost a decade ago. He said there's a lot of reasons for the decline, some that you've mentioned, Catherine. He says including there's more training required, people have more demands on their time from work and family, there may be less of a sense of community. Let's get into that first reason, the training requirements. Somebody else on Facebook talked about that as well. What kind of training goes into being a volunteer firefighter?
There are huge amounts of training required, and I know that Pennsylvania was looking at just the possibility of, you know, are there ways to reduce the training hours, because not everybody needs to be trained in everything. But that's certainly a factor. There are hundreds of hours of training that goes into this. It's a commitment. The equipment that you need is equipment. Many places will provide the equipment for themselves to the volunteers. In some places, the volunteers have to pay for it themselves. So that's a lot to ask of people.
Oh, so is that one of the solutions people are looking at? Okay, maybe we can alleviate some of the costs for volunteers who would have to otherwise buy their own equipment.
Yeah, that's absolutely one of the things that people are looking at, because you know you want to make it appealing, and you want to kind of open the door to more people doing it.
And we heard also from John on the Ideas Network Facebook page. He says he went to volunteer in a small town, but they made him feel unwanted. Is that a concern that you mentioned trying to reach out to more diverse crowds? But is there a concern that this is a group of people with long time roots in the town, and maybe they're not as inviting as they could be to that new person?
You know, one of the people that we talked to was a professor in North Carolina who has studied volunteerism generally. And the biggest problem in general with volunteers is that they are, you know, sometimes poorly managed. So places really have to think about the way they're treating their volunteers and whether they are welcoming, whether the culture of the firehouse is one that accepts all kinds of different people, and, you know, that somebody who enters doesn't feel awkward or unwelcome. So that really is a big thing.
And we heard from Nate Melby here in Wisconsin earlier, Catherine. He and his colleagues with the Fire Chiefs Association are looking for more state support to help deal with some of these problems. Are you seeing that in the other states you covered where it's growing beyond just, okay, what does my individual community do about this versus, okay, hey, state, we need some help here?
Yes. Small communities absolutely need help from their states. I mean, they can't support they can't come up with the funds to support, you know, a paid fire force. And the states really need to make the commitment. A lot of the states that we saw that were doing a more successful job, like Maryland, had, you know, put in the money to support their local communities, and that's what Pennsylvania is thinking of doing as well. This is a problem, though, all over the country, and as always, states vary a lot in how they handle different issues.
As we start to wrap up, Catherine, are you seeing pessimism? Are people really worried that, hey, this is the end of the line in a lot of communities for the volunteer firefighting?
I think that it is a shock to many communities, but the optimistic note that I found as I was doing the story was that there were ways to handle this. There's no magic bullet, but But if you recruit very actively, if you open up the culture of the firehouse, if you offer incentives, it absolutely helps. And I think there's almost an inevitable increase that will continue in paid firefighters, and I'm not sure that you can completely stop the decline in volunteers, but you can certainly stem it.
We'll leave it there for now. Catherine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Catherine Barrett, columnist and correspondent for Governing Magazine. We talked with her about the decline in the number of volunteer firefighters around the U.S. and what's being done to reverse those trends. We also talked to Nate Melby, president of the Wisconsin State Fire Chiefs Association and the volunteer chief of the Town of Campbell Fire Department. Well, there is still time for you to share your thoughts and your experiences maybe working with a volunteer fire department. You can share your thoughts over at the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.